It's a story of romance, intrigue, action, thrills, suspense, and ultimately, failure. The story of silent film director and Cincinnati native, Burton L. King. Burton Lorraine King was born in Cincinnati on August the 25th, 1877, and at his birth there were no less than 10 theaters in Cincinnati. However, King worked in the traveling stock companies of that era, appearing in popular and now forgotten plays such as Strongheart, a melodrama about a full-blooded Indian college student caught in a love triangle with a young maiden and a vengeful fraternity brother. He also acted in at least one of the many plays based on Indiana author George Barr McCutcheon's ongoing Graustark saga, and in something called Shotgun Opera. Difficult to research, as there's a rock band by that name these days. Touring stock companies were looked upon with such disdain in those times that only low establishments would allow actors to board. Being run out of town on a rail was a common occupational hazard of the theatrical profession. Nevertheless, some stock companies did have good talent, such as Meffert's Stock Company, based in Louisville, featuring D.W. Griffith, who later helped to develop basic motion picture grammar. Veterans of stock companies made up a fair percentage of personnel in early movie companies, especially as performers from so-called legitimate theater tended to shun the lowly movies. Philadelphia-based Lubin Manufacturing Company opened a film studio in Bettswood, Pennsylvania, early in 1912. Not long after it opened, Burton L. King, then 35 years old, first reported for work on a movie set there. In the Nickelodeon era, quantity, not quality, was the driving force behind most one-reel-a-week productions, and in 1912, Burton L. King appeared in at least 25 Lubin films. In A Mexican Courtship, recently rediscovered by EYE Film Institute in the Netherlands, King plays a drunken matador who passes out before the big bullfight, setting the stage for the hero, an amateur bullfighter, to defeat the bull, winning the hand of the señorita that he loves. The actor playing the lucky bullfighter in A Mexican Courtship was also a director, Romaine Fielding. Before he got into the movies, Fielding had been a prospector in Alaska and was on friendly terms with authors Jack London and Rex Beach. It is probably not surprising to learn, then, that Fielding specialized in Western subjects. When Pop Lubin decided to send a nomadic film company to Arizona to make Westerns, Romaine Fielding was named its head, and Burton L. King went along for the ride. King may have directed his first film out in the wild west of Arizona, but we don't know for sure, for as generous as Pop Lubin was to film people, he was rather stingy when it came to movie credits. By the end of 1912, Burton L. King decided he'd had enough of Pop Lubin's generosity and caught a train to Los Angeles. Some years before, Thomas Edison had pooled together the Motion Picture Patents Trust out of a small number of producers, which included Lubin. In order to avoid the rough business meted out by agents of the Edison Company, many film producers operating outside the Patents Trust fled west to Southern California. They discovered good weather and consistently sunny shooting days, and by 1913, even the trust companies were setting up studios in Southern California. In the next couple of years, Burton L. King moved from studio to studio, starting with trust company Vitagraph, where he is first definitively known to have directed films, working through independent companies, Bronco and KB, distributed by Mutual, and then with several Universal units, including Victor and Bison. Afterward, King settled with a venerable arm of the Trust, Selig Polyscope, run by Colonel William N. Selig, another old-growth film company like Lubin. King made more pictures for Selig than any other company in his career, including his own. King also forged strong friendships within the industry among such fellows as director Harry Revier, whom he may have met back at the Lubin Betzwood studio, and Australian-born actor, director, and writer J.P. McGowan, then riding high, making the hugely popular serial The Hazards of Helen for KLM, featuring his wife-to-be, Helen Holmes. To this time, Burton L. King had directed mainly two real westerns, comedies, and the occasional sentimental melodrama. But in 1915, drastic changes took place in the movie industry, starting with the opening of D.W. Griffith's still controversial three-hour epic, The Birth of a Nation. It grossed millions of dollars playing on the roadshow circuit, despite its length and the great expense put into it. It also showed that the public was ready for longer, more ambitious feature films than had been the norm. It effectively killed both the Nickelodeon and the one or two real subjects that didn't happen to be comedies. Later that year, the Sherman Antitrust Act was invoked to break up Edison's Patents Trust, and the old trust companies began to close, one by one. When its term came in 1917, Selig Polyscope still had a few Burton L. King properties on its release schedule. But King was already working elsewhere. The success of some of King's sentimental pictures with actress Jane Grey got the attention of Metro Pictures, one of the three predecessors of MGM, which hired Burton L. King to help guide the career of temperamental star Olga Petrova. Despite her chosen name, Petrova was not Russian. She was British, born Muriel Harding, but she had established herself as a mysterious exotic, and her film persona was part serious actress, part vamp. Petrova was enormously popular. King's films with her, with titles such as Extravagance, The Eternal Question, The Black Butterfly, and To the Death, were quite successful. These films helped to shake the stink of the trust, two-reelers, and B-Westerns from Burton L. King's resume, remaking him as a capable director of timely, respectable, and profitable features. But, unfortunately, that's as far as it went. For some reason, Burton L. King went out the back door at Metro. After two further pictures made at the doomed Mutual Film Company, King would never again work for a major studio. While his greatest successes still lay ahead of him, they would mostly come on his own dime. Although sometimes King took on outside jobs, for the most part, from this point on, Burton L. King was on his own. And at first, that was okay. In 1918, the great magician Harry Houdini decided to seriously get into the film business after a number of fits and starts. Producer B.A. Rolfe hired Burton L. King to direct a 15-chapter serial starring Houdini, The Master Mystery. It did well, and in 1922, King was tapped again to direct Houdini in a picture called The Man from Beyond. Taken together, these two films remain the ones for which Burtnell King is best known today and are the most often seen representatives of his total output of about 200 films. In 1919, King made the property he regarded as his personal best, The Lost Battalion, an account of the Battle of Belleau Wood as enacted by surviving Marines who had fought in the actual month-long conflict itself, which cost nearly 10,000 American lives in June 1918. Of the non-Houdini films that Burtnell King managed to make, The Lost Battalion was the most serious and remains the most notable. The success of these projects enabled King to establish his own production company, which would occupy him for the next dozen years, even as he worked occasionally for outside jobs. King's second production for the new Burton King Productions, The Discarded Woman, was a hit, and along with Houdini's The Man from Beyond, a well-received serial, Captain Kidd, made 1922 a good year for Burton King. Once again, however, there was change in the winds. The Arbuckle scandal raised concerns about the lack of morality in Hollywood, and the tantalizing, racy kinds of stories King favored with his new production company began to run into trouble with censors. King's 1925 film, A Little Girl in a Big City, gained a special notoriety as it starred Gladys Walton, Al Capone's real-life girlfriend. Walton's appearance in the film was widely condemned by censor boards and critics, and in the end, the film was so widely banned it hardly played enough screens to make its money back. Personal tragedies began to dog Burton King in the 20s. In 1921, Lieutenant Colonel Charles W. Whittlesey, who had been one of the stars of the Lost Battalion, finally tired of being pinned down repeatedly and asked to relive the experiences of Belleau Wood. He disappeared from aboard a steamer bound from New York to Havana and is believed to have jumped ship. In late October 1926, Harry Houdini is said to have been ill-prepared for a series of punches thrown to his abdomen by a McGill University student in Montreal. Houdini's insurance carrier believed that these punches led to peritonitis, which is what killed Houdini a few days later on Halloween. As the 1920s roared on to its crashing close, Burtnell King began to delegate direction of his films to others in order to keep closer watch on the front office, making sure that the wheels did not come off his pictures from a financing standpoint. King's Jazz Age features, with salacious titles such as Confessions of a Wife, The Adorable Cheat, The House of Shame, Satan and the Woman, and so forth, helped keep his head above water, but hardly did brisk business. Despite the titillating titles, these were routine, maudlin melodramas that seldom delivered on what seemed promised. Moreover, King had a penchant for awarding lead roles to talent that had been before the movie going public for a while, and perhaps in some cases the bloom was already off the rose. When sound came, King was ready. He established Audible Pictures as a new division of his company and made one talkie in Old California, starring Henry B. Walthall, an aging actor who, in 1915, had been the principal star of The Birth of a Nation. This film was a major misstep, and its failure sent King's whole operation into a tailspin. In 1931, Burtnell King met with his old friend J.P. McGowan. McGowan had separated from Helen Holmes and, like King, had fallen on hard times. King and McGowan joined Poverty Row producer Big Four Films to create a series of low-budget westerns. They were cheap and they were bad, but they made money. King and McGowan moved their operation to Monarch Pictures, distributed by the Froiler brothers, who had been part of Mutual, and continued along the same dusty trail. Tiring of the grind of B-Westerns, King joined forces with exploitation producer S.S. Krellberg to distribute what he thought was a surefire hit, When Lightning Strikes, the first starring vehicle for Lightning the Wonder Dog. King co-directed the picture with Harry Revier, and J.P. McGowan wrote the script and played the bad guy, just as he had back in the old silent days. But the resulting picture was literally and figuratively a dog, and nearly put all three of them out of the business. Harry Revier stayed with Krellberg and made The Lost City a hugely successful serial, and arguably the worst film of the 1930s. McGowan and King parted company and drifted through undistinguished Poverty Row productions until 1938, when both of them, coincidentally, made their last pictures. Burton King's cinematic swan song was Convicts at Large, a minor and improbable crime drama that slipped off the bottom of a double bill without leaving much of a trace. Although Burton L. King optimistically signed his 1942 draft card as a motion picture director and producer, in truth, he hadn't worked in years. Burton L. King died in Hollywood on May the 4th, 1944, at the age of 66. And to this day, not much interest has been shown in his work or his life. But as a Cincinnatian who tried hard to make it in the picture business and enjoyed some success, I feel that he is noteworthy. While few of his films still remain to be seen today, the Houdini titles are interesting and highly entertaining, and The Lost Battalion is, as he thought it was, a singular achievement. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Dave Lewis.